we are just going to continue with, again, just a theme flowing through this week. We're not going to do very much review today because I think by now you figured out God's got a plan. And we've got to think the way He thinks and so on and so forth. But what we want to talk about today is it has to do with putting into action things that we've learned. In other words, we have the mind of Christ. Now let's talk about really thinking that way. We've talked about how the Word of God can begin digging a new thought trench in our mind. So we think along those lines. Well, we want to find out more about how to do that. We've talked about the fact that God has a plan, a specific plan for every person. Every one of you in here, you're called to, be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. You're called into helps or you're called into governments. I mean, in some area of ministry, there is a call on your life. The way it manifests for you is going to be different than the way it manifests for me and from the person on television, the person in China, and so on and so forth. But God has a plan for our lives. So not only are we supposed to live as Christ, but we are supposed to fulfill our ministry as Christ fulfilled His ministry. But we need to know more about discovering that ministry. We need to know more about how to really understand God's Word. I mean, is there something we can do that can enhance this? We need to know more about how to understand God's will for us right now and for the future relative to the calling. What's your next step for me, Father? Next week, next month, next year? I mean, what is it that you want me to do? How am I supposed to do it? Where am I supposed to be for these things? We've talked about praying in the Holy Spirit and how that praying in tongues helps the Holy Spirit to release to us on a spiritual level the information that God wants us to have. And this is not just information relative to Him explaining God's Word, but it's also information relative to God's call upon our lives, information relative to how we can conform to the image of Christ. I mean, all these things that we've been talking about this week, well, what we want to do today is begin, just take a, I guess you could say a brief look at what's going to be necessary or maybe what's going to be helpful. One of the most helpful things that any Christian can do when it comes to discovering and walking in the fullness of what God has called us to do. What I'd like you to do is open up first to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to look at several scriptures here before we get into it a little bit further. I mean, several things we're going to look at, and there's going to be a common theme in every one of these scriptures that we read. Exodus chapter 19. And what's happened is, Israel has come out of bondage. They've been locked up there in Egypt for, 400 years, and now they've been set free. And if we pick up here in Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 20, it says, "And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them." So basically, here's what we're seeing. Moses goes up, he has this talk with God, and God says, "Now Moses, before we can go any further, here's what you need to do. You need to go down and make sure the people understand they don't come up here. They stay down there. And after you've done that and made it very clear to them, I want you and Aaron to begin making your way back up here to me." And if you look at this in verse 24, he says, "And thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee." So Moses went down and gives the instructions to the people. Then, if we keep reading, we're going to see he went back up to talk with God. Now, let's jump over to chapter 31. Chapter 31, and just kind of see the end result of this. Verse 18. "And he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And then we know what happened after that. Moses came down, and the long and the short of it, you know, he just explained to the people what God had said to him. But the thing I want to point out is the fact that God had taken the time to write out on the stone tablets what it was he wanted Moses to convey to the people. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll pick up in verse 16. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. So in other words, God is saying, look, I'm going to be doing all these great and wonderful things. But to be sure that you don't forget about this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write these things out. I want you to teach them to your children. I want you to write them out and put them on the doorpost. I want you to be aware of them constantly when you leave for the day, when you come home in the evening. I want you to be constantly aware of everything that I have said. I don't want you to forget this so that you are consciously thinking about it all the time. And you're aware of these things I've said so that you don't forget me or you don't dismiss everything that I've done for you. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 8. See, what I'm going to share with you today is a principle that I've been able to get some Christians to catch on to this, but the majority of the ones that I've taught this to don't. And I'm just telling you that by the end of this message today, if you will embrace what I am sharing with you and put it into practice, it is going to help you stay on the path of God's perfect will for your entire life. But it's totally up to you. Now in chapter 8, verse 1, look at this. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll or great scroll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. In other words, he says, look, I'm going to be giving you some instructions. I want you to take a scroll. I want you to get a pen. And I want you to write these things down. I want you to document what it is that I'm giving you. Jump over to chapter 30 of Isaiah. Chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. So God is again giving instructions. I'm going to tell you something, and what you've got to do is sit down, take the time, and write out what it is that I'm giving you. Look at another place, Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they believed or delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So So in Luke chapter 1, what we're seeing is, look, there are a lot of things that have happened. A lot of things have transpired. And obviously he's talking about the things that have involved Jesus Christ. And he says, it's very important to me. I mean, it was really strong in me that I needed to sit down. And if you notice in verse 3, he says, to write unto thee in order. In order. In other words, from start to finish, in order, the way things took place. So that, verse 4, you would understand the certainty of those things that you've heard, the things that you've been taught. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now this is a verse that we've looked at previously, but it needs to be looked at again here today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And again, there at the beginning of verse 16, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that phrase, inspiration, it literally means all Scripture, everything that we have here, has been divinely breathed forth or dictated by the Holy Spirit so that man could write it down. So, think of it like this. The Holy Spirit says, look, it's time to write some Scripture. And it didn't happen just like this, but just imagine it this way. He says, it's time to write some Scripture. And so he starts speaking to somebody, and they begin to write down what it is that he gives them. The end result is what we have in our hands today, the Bible. Now look over in Habakkuk chapter 2. Back in the Old Testament little book. Habakkuk chapter 2. On the left-hand side of Habakkuk is Nahum. On the right-hand side of Habakkuk is Zephaniah. Toward the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2. And I know some of these little books can be kind of hard to find. Trust me, especially if the pages are sticking together. I'll wait till you're there. Give you a couple more moments. Habakkuk chapter 2. And in verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Or he says, make it plain upon tables. In other words, today we would say, plain upon a tablet of paper. He says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not fly. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. All right, now what are we seeing here in Habakkuk? God is saying, all right, now look, here's what we're getting ready to do. I'm going to give you information that has to do with some things that are coming up in the future. And here is what you absolutely must do. You've got to sit down and you've got to write this thing out. Everything that I give you, you've got to write it out. And you've got to write it in a way that is going to be very clear and very plain, so that if you give it to somebody else, they're going to be able to sit down, read it, and they're going to know exactly what you're talking about or what I'm talking about through you. And he says, it's not all going to happen right now. There's going to be a waiting period for all of these things that I give you to take place. But you need to know that eventually these things are going to happen. They are going to take place, and they're going to manifest. They're going to occur. Okay, now what are we seeing here? From Exodus up to Habakkuk, all these verses that we've looked at, there is a common theme. And the common theme essentially could be summed up like this. First off, God is a God of order, and He gives us things that He expects us to write down so that we know what He said. Now think of it like this. Let's imagine that you're married. Your husband or your wife ask you to go to the grocery store. And you say, well, what should I get? Well, you need to get milk, and you need to get eggs, and you need to get bologna, you need to get bread, you need to get ice cream, you need to get, I mean, just all, like, you know, 30, 40 different items. And you say, okay. And you start to walk out the door. And she says, wait a minute. You didn't write this down. And you say, oh, no problem, I remember it. Now, you know what's going to happen when you get to the store, right? You're going to come home with the milk, and 39 items are still going to be at the store. In other words, you're not going to remember it all. That's why she wants you to write it down. That's why you need to make that list so that when you get there, you'll remember everything that you're supposed to do, and you're going to get everything that you're supposed to get. Well, likewise, God looks down on us and He says, all right, look, you want to know what you're supposed to do? You want to know what my will is for your life? Why should I give you any more information than what's good for the next 5 minutes if you're not going to take the time to write it down? How are you going to remember if I give you a list of things that you're supposed to do for the next 5 years? Because 15 minutes from now, you won't remember beyond 15 minutes from now. You see what I'm saying? And there are so many verses in the Bible where God has given an instruction to somebody to write it out, to write it down, to put it in a scroll, to write it in a scroll. Consistently throughout both in the Old Testament, and then we even see some of this over in the New Testament, like we read here just a moment ago in Timothy and Luke, how that God expects these things to be written down. One of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is not to write down what they get from God. Because if you take the time to write it down, you're going to have it. It's going to be with you, and it's going to be something that you can refer to. Okay, now let's kind of go through this process. We talked about how over in John chapter 14 and in John chapter 16, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. He would guide us into all truth. He would show us things to come. He would take what belonged to Him that He had inherited from the Father and would show it to us, glorifying Jesus in the process. And we praise God for that. And we learned that the primary method that the Holy Spirit is able to do this, the best method by which He's able to do this, is as we pray in tongues, He's able to engage with us in spirit-to-spirit communication. Well, now, if the Holy Spirit is giving us information, what makes us think that we're going to remember everything that He says? What makes us think that if He's going to take the time to speak to us, that we're going to recall everything? This is one of the reasons why I personally believe that a lot of people who pray and want to get instructions and direction from God aren't getting as much from Him as what they would like to receive, because they're not taking the time to write down what He's giving them. In other words, it's like He's wasting. It's like He is, the Holy Spirit is wasting His time. Now, I mean, He's not, but it's like He knows ahead of time. I can sit down and I can give you all kinds of information. I'm God. I know the beginning from the end. I know everything that you're going to do the rest of your life. I know the perfect plan for your life. I know your ministry calling. I know where you're supposed to fulfill it. I know where you're supposed to be 5 years from now. I know where you're supposed to be 5 years from now to the exact minute. I know exactly what God desires of you. And I can tell you. I can give you all this information. But how much are you going to remember? And I know that for myself, you know, it took me some time to kind of figure this out. That if God's going to give me some information, it's to my benefit to sit down and write out what it is that He's giving me. And this includes not just the understanding of Scripture, but it also includes the direction for the ministry that He's called me to fulfill. So the Holy Spirit is going to be very involved in this. He is the one that has the responsibility to teach us all these things that God wants us to know. Well, He's going to teach us the understanding of God's Word. There's a passage of Scripture we don't understand. He can teach us that passage of Scripture. He can explain how one chapter leads into the next chapter. He can explain how something in Ephesians directly connects to some things in Galatians and Colossians. He can explain how something in the Old Testament connects directly with something that takes place in Corinthians. I mean, over and over and over again, you know, He's able to put all this together because He's the one that gave it to us originally. But as He's giving us this understanding, most of the time, Christians don't listen. In other words, they hear it, but they don't have any record of it. I know that there have been times where I have taught, and people have told me how great the sermon is. Great message, Brother Martin. Hallelujah. Then a few months later, they come up to me asking me questions about the very passage I taught on. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, first off, you could have taken notes during the sermon, but second off, we do record our messages. You could have gotten the tape and listened to it over and over again. Therefore, I'll help you, and I'll kind of review it just for a minute, but at the same time, I'm going to remember that this didn't make as much of an impression on you as it should have. Now, I'm going to explain, you know, that a little bit further in a little more detail here in just a moment, but I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Once again, talking about how valuable it is for us to spend the time praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, take a look at verse 21. It says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord." Now, verse 21 is almost in the middle of this 14th chapter where Paul is teaching about the proper order, use, and function of the gift of tongues. So when he says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord," that verse is a reference to something that was spoken or written, something that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Which means if we find this in the Old Testament, we are going to find a prophecy in the Old Testament that God gave relative to people speaking in tongues. So let's go back to Isaiah 28. And let's look at this prophecy. Isaiah 28. Now, a moment ago, we talked about the fact that God is a God of order. And that when He gives things, He expects them to be written down. And that instruction is all throughout Scripture. Write it down. Put it on a scroll. And we're going to see this whole concept of God being a God of order here in Isaiah 28. If you take a look in verse 9, Isaiah 28 verse 9, it says, "Whom shall He," speaking of God, "whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people, to whom He said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.'" So you can see how that Paul was quoting almost word for word part of what we just read. Now let's back up and look at this. Isaiah is writing this, and this is an instruction from God. And he says, "Who can God teach knowledge?" Who can He give this kind of instruction to? Who can He make understand doctrine? Well, those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And here's why. Because precept must be upon precept and line must be upon line. Here's your order. In other words, everything has to be in order. You lay the foundation, then you teach step one, then you teach step two, etc. and so forth. And then in verse 11, he explains how He, God, is going to do this. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people." With stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. And then Paul quotes from this over in the New Testament, right in the middle of his teaching about what to do with the gift of tongues, when he's teaching about praying in tongues. In other words, what Paul is saying is, look, here we are in the living, breathing manifestation of the fulfillment of this prophecy that God spoke through Isaiah. And in this prophecy, God said, look, you've got to come to the place of understanding doctrine. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have the kind of knowledge that I have. But there's a problem here. Unless you do it my way, I can't convey this information to you. And here's how it works. I, God, am going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in turn, is going to give you the ability, a miraculous event in your life, where you will be able to speak in tongues. Now, as you are speaking in tongues, you're going to be speaking the mysteries of God. things that you don't understand. In other words, the things about knowledge, knowledge of Scripture, knowledge of the understanding of my Word that you don't understand. These are things you're going to be praying out. You're going to be edifying yourself or building yourself up spiritually. You're going to be speaking the mysteries, the things about your will that you don't fully understand. The things about doctrine, when there's so much confusing doctrine in the world today. When you begin to speak in tongues, begin to pray in tongues, I'm going to be able to have divine interaction with you on a spiritual level to clarify all the confusion, and I'll be able to release to you the knowledge and the understanding that I want you to have concerning everything relative to the knowledge of my Word, to the doctrine I want established for the body of Christ, my perfect will for you, everything that concerns you. This is what's going to be taking place. And he says in verse 12, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. All right, what was he talking about there? Well, very briefly, I'll say it this way. Christians that are frustrated about not knowing what God wants them to do, he says, you know, you can come to a place of rest in your walk with me as you pray in tongues and I'm able to give this information to you. You're going to come to the place of knowing what I want you to do. You're going to come to the place of understanding Scripture. You're going to come to the place of comprehending the things that I've said in my Word. And he says, this is the refreshing. Yet, they would not hear. Or in other words, they heard the words, but they would not receive the instruction. Bring it home to today. He's saying, look, this is how it's going to work. I got him prophesying in Isaiah. Paul's going to confirm in 1 Corinthians, this is how it works. This is how I God minister. This is how I convey this information to you. You want to know about my Word? Pray in tongues. I can give you the revelation and understanding through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You want to know about my will for your life, the direction you're supposed to go? Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can convey this information to you. And yet you've got Christians that will stand up and tell you that tongues aren't for today. In other words, what they're telling you is that you don't need the Holy Spirit to fulfill this prophecy in your life. Okay, well, Mr. Preacher, if I don't need the Holy Spirit to fulfill this ministry in my life, what do I do? And most of them just come to me. I'm your pastor. I'll tell you what you need to know. Well, where do you get your information? I mean, if you're saying don't rely on the Holy Spirit, where do you get your information? Well, I went to seminary. Well, what'd they teach you there? To listen to them. In other words, we've got a cycle of man listening to man listening to man, and we pass that down from generation to generation, and God prophesied that it would be like that. He says, listen, I'm giving you the answer right here. You pray in the Spirit, the stammering lips, another tongue. You pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is going to be able to convey to you the line upon line, precept upon precept instruction that I want to give you about everything that concerns your life. Now, if you receive this and put it into action, I can begin transferring this information to you. But if you buy into the religious doctrine that tells you you don't need to do this, then what am I supposed to do? What am I, God, supposed to do when I've already laid it out right here what you are supposed to do? I'm not going to circumvent my Word. Well, now, here's where we're headed to in this. The Holy Spirit teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, when it comes to God's Word, He is going to take us. It's almost like here we are, we've never spent much time praying in tongues, but finally we're convinced that we can do this and we need to do this. It's like, okay, now I understand it. So we start to pray in tongues. And as we do, you know, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. He begins looking around. He looks in the area of our mind, the part that has comprehension. And he takes a look at everything that we comprehend correctly about God's Word. And he says, okay, they understand one half of one third of 1%. So what I need to do is build on that foundation of what they already know. I will begin taking them through Scripture and adding clarity to what they already correctly understand. And I'll be expanding their comprehension of God's Word. Let's see here. Over here is the section of God's will for their life. And she understands nothing. So what I'm going to do is have to start at the absolute ground floor beginning and lead her into the understanding of what are the ministry callings, how they function, so on and so forth, and begin taking her along that process so that she can come to the place of understanding what she's called to do and how she's supposed to fulfill it. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes us line upon line, precept upon precept. Put it on a calendar. He tells us what we're supposed to do tomorrow. Then he gives us an idea of what's to happen. You know, he says, okay, now 1 year from now, here's what is supposed to be happening. Now that you know what the goal is, I'm going to take you through the process of reaching that goal. But you've got to listen to me because I'll give you the perfect plan. And my perfect plan doesn't always include what you think is a straight line. I'll give you an example. Last year I went to South Korea and ministered. And I flew from Cincinnati, Ohio to New York, JFK Airport in New York. And then when the plane left JFK in New York, you know, I'm looking at a world map. And I say, okay, here's New York. And if we go around the planet, boom, there we are, South Korea. But that's not the way the plane went. The plane took off out of JFK Airport, kind of fish-hooked out over the Atlantic Ocean, came back into New York, flew north through New York, up into Canada, flew north of all the Great Lakes, kept flying north, and literally flew along the coast of Alaska and the Arctic Ocean. I mean, we weren't that far from the North Pole. Then it starts coming down, flies over part of Russia, cuts over a little bit to miss Chinese airspace because we didn't want to get shot down, then cuts back over into the southern part of Russia, and then on down into South Korea. So in other words, in my mind, I'm thinking we're going to go straight line right across. But they realized, no, there's a better way to do this, because as you begin flying north, combine that with the rotation of the Earth, and it actually shortens the trip. And I'm sitting there trying to figure this out. You know, how in the world... But it works that way. So in other words, the shortest distance between two points was not a straight line. It was a curved line almost to the North Pole. Likewise, when the Holy Spirit begins giving you instructions and He says, now 1 year from this point, here's where I want you to be. And you say, well, I can do that. In fact, I might be able to get that finished in 8 months. The Holy Spirit says, no, it's going to take you a year because you need to do it my way. And we get all excited and think, okay, we need to do this, need to do that. And He says, no, wait, hold, time out. I want to tell you how to do it. And He begins giving you instructions. And you're thinking, but this is going to take more time, or it shouldn't be done this way, or I think there's a quicker way, or I think there's a better way. And the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, who's God? You or me? I know the beginning from the end, and I know how to give you this information so that you accomplish it exactly the way God wants. And sometimes doing it God's way doesn't seem to make sense to us. But you've got to remember, God knows everything, and so He knows what makes the best sense. Okay, now how does this work for us? How do we do this? Well, the first thing that you need to do is you need to take a look at, now, and again, remember, this isn't just for the people in this room. This is for the body of Christ. You need to take a look at your schedule. You need to take a look at, you know, what your day is all about. And as you examine your day, if you need to, you know, write it down what you do. But do your best to set aside time so that you can be alone with the Holy Spirit. So that you can be alone with the Holy Spirit and with God's Word. Because see, the Holy Spirit is also going to confirm this whole thing we've been talking about. The fact that you're free. Free from the power of sin, that you don't have to give in, you don't have to do things that you used to do and so forth. He's going to make that very real to you as you spend this time with Him. So you sit down and you begin to open your Bible. You open your Bible, you begin to read. You begin, just take Colossians. Take a short little book like Colossians. You begin to read it. You begin to read it. Praying in tongues as you read it. And what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak to you. So whether you're doing this on a pad of paper, doing it on a computer, doesn't matter. You begin to write down what you believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You begin to write down what you believe that He is saying to you. As you're praying in tongues, you ask Him, what is God's will? What am I called to be? And how am I supposed to fulfill it? And He'll begin to speak to you what you're supposed to do. I know what we've done in our church a couple of times, and we're going to be doing it more. We'll actually take about 15 minutes in a service. Everybody, we make sure everybody's got a pad and some... something to write with, you know, some paper and a pen, whatever. And we'll take about 15 minutes in the service. And during that 15 minutes, we as a congregation will just pray softly in tongues. and just write down whatever it is that we believe God is giving to us. And what's amazing is that I've had people come to me and say, that's the first time I've ever heard God speak. Almost as though there was something magical that happened. And the point that I try to make to them is, it can be like this all the time. It isn't that He doesn't want to speak, it's just that nobody ever has taken the time to explain to us how to do this. Because inevitably when I share things like this with people, some folks, they get that expression on their face like, how come I never thought of doing this? Well, for whatever reason you didn't, but now you are. You sit down and you begin to pray in the Spirit, and you begin to, even if it's just a sentence or two, it doesn't matter. We're learning how to recognize God's voice as He speaks to us. We're learning how to receive direction from Him. Right along with that, when it comes to, just say, what we've been teaching on this way. You get the recordings, whether tapes or CDs or whatever. You get the recordings of these services, and you sit down. Your Bible is open. Your pad of paper, your computer is there, and you're listening. You're following along in Scripture, and you're praying in the Spirit the whole time. And as you do this, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak to you. He's going to begin to give you clarity, more clarity than anything I've given to you so far this week. He'll be able to clarify some of the passages that we've looked at beyond what we've been able to share during this week. He'll be able to put things together. He'll say, now, you see what he was talking about here on this tape? Pause the tape because I want to add some things to it that he didn't cover. And he'll begin to speak to you and give you more information, and you write these things down. And what you're doing is accumulating teaching from the Holy Spirit, teaching that God knows you need to receive. You're receiving clarity of understanding concerning God's Word, Scriptures that have been so confusing. And yet, you know, you're reading the Scriptures over and over again. You read from start to finish. You just go through a little book like Colossians, and you just read it from start to finish nonstop. It takes about 10 minutes. And you just read it over and over again, over and over again. And pretty soon, the Holy Spirit is able to start putting things in order, and He's able to start connecting verses and chapters and even books so that you begin to see the theme that God gave to us, the message that's contained in Scripture. In the process, you're going to begin to see how what God has said in His Word applies to you and the calling that God has on your life. And the Holy Spirit is going to be able to release into you a greater level of anointing for the understanding of God's Word. In the process of all of this, whatever you're called to be, whether it's an apostle, a pastor, an evangelist, anything, whatever you are called to be, that calling starts to develop on the inside of you. And you start recognizing what you're called to do, and you start recognizing how you're supposed to fulfill it. Now, here's the thing. I have taught this and taught this and taught this over the years. I teach it to the Bible college students. I've taught this to people in my church. And I can honestly tell you that not everybody does it. Because remember a few moments ago where I shared that when I preach something, somebody comes to me a few months later and they've got questions. If they had done what I'm sharing with you right now, if they had taken the tape of the sermon and sat down and listened to it and gone over it again and again, praying in tongues, following along in Scripture, writing the notes out that the Holy Spirit has given to them, they're not going to come to me with those questions. Because those questions will have been answered before they ever thought of them. They're going to have everything they need right there in front of them. And then they can take another tape and do that, and take another sermon and do that, and take another tape series and do that. And eventually what happens is, you end up literally, you know, with all of these notes, whether it's a 3-ring binder or any kind of a notepad, or whether you store it on your computer, but you end up with page after page after page after page of notes that God has given to you. Now let me show you another scripture here. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. And just look at beginning in verse 1. the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Everything that I have spoken to you, write it in a book. Let's paraphrase it. Write a book, Jeremiah. Write a book. What's the word? What's this book going to be composed of, God? Everything I've spoken to you. Okay, now let's think. What have I been sharing with you about this morning? What have I been sharing concerning writing down what the Lord has given to you? What I'm telling you is to write a book. You say, wait a minute. You know, write a book? No, not a book to be published. How many of you have ever wished that you could go to the Bible and open up the Bible and there'd be the book of Bob? Where you could, I mean, it's got everything, you know, the book of Joe, the book of Sue, where everything you need to know about you is right there in Scripture. Well, it's not there. But what I'm sharing with you today is how to write the book of your life. Because as you do this, God is giving you the understanding of Scripture. He's giving you the comprehension of His Word. He's giving you the detailed information about His call upon your life. And as you begin to write these things out, let's say that you start doing this today. You've never done it before, but you start doing it today. Today begins chapter 1. And then maybe a month or 6 months from now, chapter 2, you begin writing it. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out for you. And I'm not saying that you actually identify it as chapters. But what I'm saying is, as you begin to write these things out that God is giving to you, you are actually literally writing the book of your life. And God begins giving to you the plan He wants you to fulfill. The understanding of Scripture He gives to you will essentially be, it will be the same understanding of Scripture He gives to somebody else, but it's going to be written by your hand in your style according to your way of comprehending. But the message will still be the same. And a message or a passage of Scripture that has seemed so confusing to, you know, three or four of us, if we do this, we're all going to end up with the same comprehension and same understanding of that same passage. It's just going to be written out a little bit differently because it's going to be our style of writing. Our personality will come through on the pages, but the message is going to be the same. And when God begins to give you details about His calling, you know, maybe, you know, you've seen preachers on TV and you think it would be glamorous to be a preacher on television. And God says, no, that's not what I want for you. I don't want you to be on television. I don't want you to travel the world as an evangelist. What I want you to do is pastor a church in Oklahoma, pastor a church in Florida, pastor a church in Iowa. He says, I've got a calling upon your life that is not what you thought it would be or what you hoped it would be. And at first you think, well, gee whiz, I don't know if I can do that. And God says, wait a minute. If I have called you, I will equip you. And if I equip you, I will enable you. And once I've enabled you, you then are capable. You'll be able to do it. And here's what's interesting. The further you go into the understanding of what God has called you to do, the more exciting it's going to be because you're going to then be fitting into the perfect will of God for your life and it's going to feel really good. Listen, you've got to understand something. Maybe you don't know this, but there are a lot of preachers in the world who would not come here to minister. There are some preachers in the world that they won't go places unless they're guaranteed X thousands of dollars to come and preach. And quite frankly, I can't find anything in Scripture where God has instructed anybody, you go, but only if they give you a certain amount of money. What I see in Scripture is, you go where I tell you to go. And I, God, shall supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You say, well, what is it about those preachers that demand this and demand that? They're not applying the principles I'm sharing with you today. Because if they were, they would be conforming more to the image of Christ and fulfilling their ministry the same way that Christ would fulfill His ministry, that ministry, if He were here on the earth. See, you can get to the point of becoming the pastor that Jesus would be if Jesus were here on earth still in His own body, of being the evangelist that Jesus would be if He were still here, of being the apostle that Jesus would be if He were still here. And as you begin to write these things out, you keep them, you accumulate them. Now somebody might say, yeah, but what if I make a mistake? I mean, what if I write something down that I think God gave me, but He really didn't? That's okay. I mean, it really is. Because the more that you keep praying, and the more that you stay in God's Word, and the more you stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit like this, is the more He's going to be able to correct anything you misunderstood somewhere along the line. He's going to be able to say, I mean, it's just going to, all of a sudden it'll just be there, something that you wrote down maybe a year ago, and you're going to remember it and think, how could I have been so wrong? It's like the Holy Spirit will speak up and say, well, you were learning. And my grace allows for those kinds of mistakes because you're in a learning process. You're coming to the place of more greatly understanding the Word of God, the will of God, the plan of God, the life of God, who you are in Christ, all of these things. You're coming to the place of comprehending this. And I'm telling you right now, every person that I've ever shared this with who has applied it, eventually they share with me, you know what? You're right. This stuff works. I started doing it after you said. And after a while, I began to catch on how the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. After a while, I began to understand the direction that He was leading me in life. After a while, I began to grasp how He was correcting me concerning things I thought I was supposed to do, but what I thought I was supposed to do before was all out of me. It was all out of emotions. It was all out of things that people had said to me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you base your life on the prophecies that you get from people, you are setting yourself up for a big mistake and a whole bunch of errors. Because there are a lot of people that they prophesy out of their flesh, out of their emotions, and out of their head knowledge. They call people out. The Lord has shown me some, blah, blah, blah. And they begin to speak these things. And then so many Christians, they hear that stuff and they grab a hold of it and say, God spoke to me. Well, how do you know that? The preacher said so. Well, you know, the preacher was right. Well, he's got to be right. He's the preacher. I mean, they don't make mistakes, do they? But if you spend time, you go back and you spend time, like I shared today, praying in the Spirit, and you tell God, look, God, that preacher said this and that about me. I mean, this is what he called me out and said he had a word from the Lord. Now, Father, I need you to let me know, did this come from you? Is this right on? And the ones that are right on, you include those in the book of your life. Because what God is doing at times like that is speaking through somebody else to you concerning things that are relevant to you. Now, this may seem like a very simple thing. You know, sit, pray in tongues, follow in Scripture, you know, listen to the preaching tapes and so forth, you know, and write all these things down. This may seem like a very simple process, but if you will be diligent about doing this, and if you will begin to apply this, it's just going to be a matter of time before you are going to start hearing God speak to you more and more clearly. And the things that God gives to you, it's like He said back over here to like Habakkuk. Not everything that He gives you is going to be for right now. A lot of it is going to be for a time to come. Because remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. They'll be for a time to come. God will begin laying out His plan for you for the future. And the more you grow in Him, the more information He's going to be able to give to you relative to the things to come. And you're going to have this documented. And in some cases, you're going to know ahead of time what's going to happen. And you're just going through life just waiting for it to manifest. Because you know it's going to happen. Because God has spoken to you. And if you rely more on man than you rely on God, you're making a mistake. This is why even these messages that I've shared with you this week, it's so important. Pray over these things. Not just to be praying, but pray over these things so that the truth of what God has shown us in His Word becomes a living reality in your life. So the more that you do this, the more God's going to be able to confirm to you who you have become in Jesus Christ. This freedom that we've been talking about, the deliverance that you experienced when you got born again. God's life in you is going to become so real to you. And His plan will become so real to you. You know, I can remember years ago, wondering, you know, how do preachers know they're supposed to be preachers? How do evangelists know they're supposed to be evangelists? How do, you know, and all these questions. How do you know you're supposed to do this? And sometimes their answers were frustrating. Well, you just know. That's not good enough. How do you come to the place of just knowing? Today I have shared with you how you come to that place. Today I've shared with you how you can begin to receive answers from God relative to every question you've ever had. how that God can begin confirming to you everything that He's wanting to do in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, tonight, I'm going to be showing and sharing with you from Scripture one more thing that we can do to enhance our spiritual walk with God. And I'm really excited about what the Lord's going to do in the service tonight. Praise the Lord. So everybody stand. And I would encourage you, again, begin to put into practice what I've shared with you today, because this absolutely is a key to receiving direction from God concerning anything that pertains to your life. Now let's just lift our hands and worship the Lord. Father, we bless You. We honor You. We glorify You. Father, there are Christians all over the world who wish they could hear this very simple message. There are Christians that want to know how to hear from You. They want to know how to discover Your will. They want to have it confirmed to them who they really are in Christ and the freedom that we have in Jesus, the freedom from the bondage of sin and so forth. And Father, this message today, as simple as it sounds, it is so very deep when it comes to us receiving from You everything that You want us to receive. Father, I want to thank You for this revelation that You've given us, a theme throughout Your Word. Write it down. Write down what I give to You. Write down what You speak, what I speak to You. Write it down. So, Father, may we be diligent about this. May we not dismiss this, but may we receive this, so this Word You've shared, Father, sown deeply into our hearts, and may it bear the fruit of us coming up with what You give to us as we write it down, the book of our own life. We bless You, Father. We thank You so much. And I want to thank You that Your presence and Your peace is going to go with us for the rest of this day. And we eagerly anticipate what You're going to do in the service tonight. And Jesus, we praise You for it ahead of time. In Your name, Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. We'll see You tonight.